We're bringing together imperfect people in pursuit of a whole life. Welcome to the Pathfinder Church Message Podcast. This week, Pastor Dion shares his message from our annual Inspired Service.
Well, if we haven't met before, my name's Dion, and I'm the senior pastor here, and I love this weekend every year. It's so close to my heart. I've lost track. I don't know if this is our 10th Inspired Service or somewhere around there, but such an incredible weekend, and I love people who are courageous enough to share their stories. So often, we only want to share the good parts, the bright, shiny, happy parts of our stories. And so I love people who are willing to share the more vulnerable or difficult parts of their stories. And I just love the stories this weekend. I love Cammie being honest about her struggle after the death of her father. And more, I love the testimony of her belief in the power of the church to transform you. Whether that's through the word of God, I love that when she's like, people just think you can go to church and you can be the same. Nope. Nope. If you're listening to the word of God, you will change. And if you're in community, you will change. And I loved hearing the, just having an up close front row seat to the Mastic family's journey over the last 2.5 years. I love hearing their testimony and knowing behind the scenes that being a part of a church community makes such a difference. And again, there's some of us who just kind of think church is something you do and you come in and you go out and you miss the chance to develop relationships. But those relationships, these relationships that are here waiting for you, they may mean the difference between moving through a really nightmare season in your life and doing it in coming through it in one piece versus coming to pieces. And I just love that. I love that reminder. Gosh, Donna's story, huh? I mean, for most of us, that's our worst nightmare, to lose your entire family. And I love the reminder that this is this family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's just more than words. It's reality. We are bonded together by something deeper than even blood or DNA. We're bound together by the blood of Jesus and we're washed in Jesus, and that makes us family. And I, every time I've seen this video, it's been a couple times now, I get choked up at the end when she says, I've lost my son. And God lost his son for us. If he would do that for me, is there anything that he would withhold? Is there anything that he wouldn't do for you? And from a woman who's gone through that, it's just powerful testimony, isn't it? And I love Kevin's story. I just love the honesty of his story. And I love this man whose whole trajectory in life was derailed by some bad choices he made in life, how it didn't stop him from pursuing a life of purpose in it. And it still doesn't. I love this weekend. I'd encourage you to go back and watch these stories again, because every time I watch, there's something new that I pick up and God speaks into my life in a new way. I also love the music of this weekend. Just, aren't we blessed by such great musicians? Yeah. Whoever started applause over there, remember that when I'm done preaching, okay? Bring some of that back. I love the music. I love that song that we sang a few moments ago about how Christ is our firm foundation and he won't fail, he won't fail, he won't fail. And I believe that to my toes, but there are moments in life where I need to remember that, you know? Where you're in the middle of it and you're just like, am I going to get through? Is God going to fail me this time? And even though I know he won't, there's something about singing that song that just anchors me on the foundation of his faithfulness. And then I love the just the end of the old hymn that we sang, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I loved that song since I was a kid, and I still love it. And I don't know if you realize this, but these words, great is thy faithfulness, they actually come from Scripture, like a lot of our songs do. And the scripture that they come from is Lamentations chapter 3. Here's how these words go. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions, and sometimes this is translated mercies, like in the song, but compassions, and this is a tricky word to translate from Hebrew into English, because when we talk about mercy, we think about a feeling, or when we talk about compassion, we think about a feeling, an emotion, but God doesn't feel things without acting on them, right? Right. We can feel compassion and do nothing. We can feel mercy and not respond. We can feel love and not show it. God cannot do that. God is so integrated in his being that if there's a feeling, it comes out in action. So when we say we are not consumed for his compassions or his mercies never fail, we're talking about tangible acts of mercy. We're talking about tangible acts of compassion. A million little miracles following us all the days of our life. And so Jeremiah the prophet, who wrote these words, says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed for his compassions, these tangible acts of his goodness. They never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Right out of scripture. You hear the song. And I want to ask you today, do you believe that these words are true generally? More important, I want to ask you, do you believe that these words are true for you? You believe that God's mercies, his compassions, those tangible acts of love and goodness, do you believe that they're new for you today and tomorrow and every day? Do you believe that even as you sit here today, as you've been baptized in his name and his spirit lives in you, do you believe that as you just sit here today, that he is doing something in you, that he is making you new? Apart from your participation or knowing, he's at work in your life making you new. Do you believe that's true? If you do, it's a powerful way to live. It's a hopeful way to live. But so often, that's not the way we live. There's another way we live, and we live with the thought or the thinking. It sounds something like this. Well, here we are. Another inspired service. Another weekend where we look at people's stories of life change and we hear about how God's at work in people's lives and he's making them new and he's doing new things in their lives. And yet here I am sitting here, same old problems, same old difficulties, same old aches and pains, same old stresses, same roadblocks, same temptations and hurts. Conflicts, same old me. Like, if you ever fall victim to this kind of thinking, especially on a weekend like this one, like, wow, it's amazing what God's doing in people's lives, but same old me. You're not alone. For me, I love the fall. Anyone else say fall is your favorite season? Or for those of you who are highbrow, autumn? Favorite season? Yeah, I love it. I love the leaves. I love the weather. I love the crispness. I love the being able to layer clothes again. I love not having to sweat everywhere I go. I love it. I love it. I love the fall. But I have realized, thanks to years of journaling, I've realized that fall, even though I love it, favorite time of the year, fall is not always a great season for me in here and in here. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. I'm not sure if it's just watching, you know, the cycle of life and everything that's growth and alive suddenly coming to an end and we go back into winter, if it just puts me in this place of like futility or something. Because if you know me, and if you've been around, you know this about me, that I'm a person who really tries to live out what we talk about here at Pathfinder. I'm a person who is trying to pursue a whole life in every facet. So for me, in my life, I'm regularly picking up new disciplines. of you know, how to exercise and how to eat differently and how to take care of my body and how to heal my mind and bring calm to my anxious mind. And I'm looking at how to do relationships differently and better and wiser. And I'm picking up new spiritual disciplines and practices to keep my relationship with God growing. And I'm trying to figure out how to be a better manager of my finances and how to be more generous along the way and to manage my money God's way, right? I'm trying to figure out what it looks like to live a life of purpose. I'm always on the pursuit of a whole life. And there's always something new going on in my life. Just ask me, like, Dion, what are you doing now as you pursue a whole life? There's always something new. For the last 4 months, in case you're interested, it has been daily cold plunging and ashwagandha supplements. Bless you. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else on the ashwagandha train? It's supposed to be amazing for you. And so I've been trying it for months. Yeah, I got a friend back there. It's supposed to be amazing. And maybe it is, I don't know. But so I do these things and then fall comes. And I think this is what's going on. Fall comes, and I watch everything around me just kind of going backwards. Even though it's beautiful, it's going backwards, back to death, back to dormancy. And there's something in me that says, Dion, who are you kidding? You can do all of this stuff. And do you think it's really going to change any of this? I've been thinking a lot about a woman from the Bible, from Mark chapter 5. The beginning of her story, some of you know the story. The beginning of her story just goes like this. A woman was there. This is Jesus is traveling around in a crowd, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So here's this woman, and she's got this physical disease that she can't figure out. 12 years, just this problem that's not going away, but it's more than just physical. This is a life-impairing thing. Because in that culture, to have a bleeding issue would have meant that she was ostracized from society and community. So not only was she suffering physically, but she was alone and she was cut off from spiritual community. I mean, this is a whole life, pervasive, whole life affecting infirmity. And then it says, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And for the last few months, this has just been going around in my head, this woman's situation. I think because I can identify with, you know, being in the pursuit of healing and growth and newness, and that's such a big focus for my life, that sometimes I feel like the person who's, you know, spending all my time, my energy, my money to try to get better. And this part just haunts me. And maybe it's because, in part, I can relate to it, that you can do all that, but instead of getting better, it might actually make you worse. And the crazy thing is, I mean, she goes on and she meets Jesus and she touches him and she's healed. And the crazy thing for me is, like, wait a minute, I know Jesus. I've met Jesus. I'm in regular contact and in connection with Jesus. And yet sometimes this just feels true to me. Maybe I'm not getting worse, but I do wonder sometimes, if I just sat around and did nothing, if I didn't pursue a whole life with so much effort, would I be in the exact same place? Does it even matter? Does that kind of intentionality, does it even make a difference? Now maybe for you, fall is a great season. Maybe I'm bumming you out today. But here's what I can promise, regardless of how you are today, there are moments, there are seasons in your life where you feel stuck. Maybe there's some internal struggle in your life, or there's some temptation, there's some addiction, or there's something that you're drawn to and you can't break the chains, and you're starting to wonder, am I too far gone to ever reverse course? Or for some of you, there's a situation in your life that is broken and it's so degraded that you can't imagine it ever becoming well or whole again. And maybe for you, that's not a situation up close. Maybe that's how you feel when you look around the world today. You look at the world and you say, this is such a mess. How is this ever going to get better? Or maybe for you, it's a relationship. a relationship that was once so important to you and so life-giving for you, and now it's a relationship that's dead. It's gone. And there's no hope in your mind, in your heart, that that relationship will ever be resurrected, that it'll ever live again. See, there are all these moments in life when we feel stuck, when we feel like it doesn't make a difference. And I want to ask you, what are these words from Lamentations 3? What do they sound like to you then? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Maybe when you anticipate or you imagine yourself in those places where you're stuck, maybe these words sound a lot like wall art from Hobby Lobby. Like, it sounds good, but maybe these words feel hollow to you today. Or maybe they feel more than hollow, maybe they actually feel hurtful, because you're waking up every day wondering, God, where are your new mercies for me? And in some seasons, it feels like every morning just brings more hardship. Maybe these words actually feel hurtful to you. And here's what I want you to know about Lamentations 3. These sound like such bright and sunny words, like someone who's living on top of the world. And maybe if you're going through a hard season, you're looking at these words and you resent these words, I want to show you the context of these words. This is part of the rest of the chapter, backing up to verse 16. Jeremiah, the prophet, again, speaking about God, says, God has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity even looks like. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord, it's all gone. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Now, Jeremiah, the one who wrote these words, he was often called the weeping prophet, because he's a guy who's not naturally hopeful. And he's writing at a time of incredible difficulty. He's anticipating the destruction of the southern kingdom of Israel, of Judah. He's anticipating them being invaded and slaughtered. He's anticipating the temple of God, being overrun and destroyed by pagan armies. A way of saying that your God is dead, your God is defeated. He's waiting, he's anticipating the carrying off of the brightest and best of Israel into exile, and families being broken, and just his whole culture being destroyed. He's facing just something that's unimaginably dark and hopeless. So no wonder his soul is downcast within him. If you think of these words as only words that we can speak in hopeful situations, this was a dark situation. And then, in light of this, that's when Jeremiah says, and he goes on, and he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore, in the middle of all that, I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, even though all that stuff's going on, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. He is my solution. He is the answer to all of my prayers. And if he's not showing up today, then I will wait for him until he does. In the words of some of the New Testament disciples, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are my portion. I will wait for you. So regardless of your circumstances, regardless of how you feel about your life, do you believe that these words are true for you? I hope you do. And in fact, I want you just to kind of push these words forward into a reflection. So I have some reflection questions for you that I want you to ponder here. How do you hope God shows up differently for you in the next season? If his mercies are new and his faithfulness is great, maybe you've been in a rough season, or maybe it's been a good season, nevertheless, if he's your portion, if he's the one in whom you hold all hope, how do you hope God shows up differently for you in the next season? Another question I have for you is, how do you hope you show up in the next season? Maybe you realize that God is showing up. There's something in your life that needs to change. This is the heart of what biblical repentance is, by the way, of just saying, maybe I need to show up differently. Maybe I need to change some things. What about this question? In what part of your life do you need the renewing power of God the most? And only you know the answer to this question, but I'm sure you know it. I'm going to give you just a second to actually think about answers to these questions. And I just want you to meditate on them. And maybe you don't get through all three, but maybe there's one that jumped out to you. And I want you to come up with answers. So just take a minute. I think Julie's going to play for us. Just take a minute and reflect. These questions are also in the Pathfinder guide for this week, so make sure you take a look at that and keep meditating or reflecting or journal out answers to these questions. I think these are really important questions. If you're still struggling to believe that God can and he will move in your life, that he can make you new, I want to share with you just one more thing. There was another prophet who lived around the same time as Jeremiah. His name was Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, also living in hard times, was a man who was given visions by God, just really spectacular visions. And one of the visions that he was given by God was pretty terrifying. Ezekiel saw a valley of dry bones. And this shows up in even some Christian songs. There's a song that's kind of a newer song right now that we sing that talks about this. But he saw this valley full of dry bones, and what had happened in this valley was a massacre in battle, armies being overrun, and here's what's important about these dry bones is that it's not a valley full of recently dead people, it's a valley full of no life, of long dead people, where there's no life in the tissue anymore. It's just dry bones. It means death has happened, and it happened a long time ago, and there is no hope. But God so badly wanted Ezekiel to be a person of hope living in a hard time, and he wants this for you, that he gave Ezekiel his vision, and his vision was that God then, by his spirit, by his breath, breathed into this valley, and these bones started to put on tissue and sinew and muscle and skin, and eventually these bones lived again, not as a skeleton army, it's not Halloween yet, but as a living army. He undid the power of death, and he brought an entire valley full of dry bones back to life again. In his message to Ezekiel and through Ezekiel to the people of Israel is, I know sometimes it looks bad, but with a word, with a breath of mine, I can change everything. I can make you alive again. I can make you new again. And if this isn't enough for you, remember this is exactly what God did with his son Jesus. Jesus, who was left in the grave, and on the third day, God said no, and he breathed life into him again. So I want to ask you today, if God can do this with a valley of dry bones, if he can make them alive again at a breath, at a word, at a command, if God can speak new life into a long dead, hopeless situation, do you believe that God can do that in you? If so, say amen. And do you believe that if God can speak to Jeremiah in this horrible time when his teeth have been crushed by gravel, when nothing in life is going good, but God can say to him, my faithfulness is great, you can trust in me, my mercies are new for you tomorrow, I will see you through, I will not abandon you or forsake you. If you can see that in Jeremiah's story, can you believe that for yourself? If so, say amen. And if these stories of life change compel you, if they speak to your heart and you look at those stories and you say, wow, God moved in people's lives and that's amazing. But if you can believe that same God wants to move in your story today in the way that you need it the most, say amen. More than that, I want you to stand up right now with me. Because each year we make sure we pray this prayer. You should have got it on a card when you came in. And so you can take out this card or these words are on the screen. And I want you to pray with me. Beg God, ask God to move in your life and bring change. We pray together. Lord, as you carry out your work all over the world today, don't forget about me. Although I sometimes fight against your transforming hand in my life, don't give up on me. Save me from the prison of standing still, of stagnating, of being the same person today that I was yesterday. Make me new, for I believe you have all the power needed, not only to change the world, but to change me. So change me, free me, forgive me, teach me, discipline me, stretch me, fill me, and grow me so that you can more fully use me to bring your goodness to all who surround me. I humbly ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Pathfinder Church Message Podcast. If you would like to hear more messages like this, hit the subscribe button. You can also find more resources at our website, pathfinderstl.org.